the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Christ and of believers from the dead are the twin great pillars of the Christian faith. We owe everything to the fact that the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. We could scarcely believe the words, even if we'd heard them, if we hadn't this example of the Lord's rising from the dead. And what we have in this chapter is a preview. I was looking at towards the end, when he spoke with a loud voice, Lazarus came forth, and the tomb was covered with a cave. It was a cave and covered with a stone. And what a parallel there is between that resurrection and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one leads us on to be able to think about the other. It all began with Lazarus taken ill. It was obviously an illness of which he soon died. We're not told what it was. And Mary and Martha sent messages to the Lord Jesus that Lazarus was very ill. And Jesus didn't move from where he was. Now, of course, he could have healed at a distance, but he didn't move from where he was. And just sometimes we have to bear in mind that if we're very ill, we're going to die. But we will be raised if we believe in Jesus from the dead. Now, as with Mary and Martha, when Lazarus died, they were very upset. There are ties that are broken, maybe, that have gone back for many years. Maybe two people are married, they're in their 80s, their 90s. They've known each other since teenage years. And when one of the partners passes away, it is a great, great sorrow. But they don't die. They're raised. They go to be with the Lord. Their bodies will be raised again after they're buried, and then they will be called up to heaven when the Lord returns. But their souls instantly go to be with the Lord. So Lazarus was taken ill. And he was taken ill that the glory of God and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ might be revealed. It didn't seem like that. It didn't seem that there could be any hope in that sort of situation, but that Jesus would come and heal him before he died. But Jesus had something more wonderful. Jesus had something more everlasting to show them than just merely a death, that there would be a resurrection. And so Jesus stayed in the same place for 2 days. It looks as if it was a journey to get to him. 2 days there, 1 day back, giving the 4 days. And Jesus then told his disciples that he was going to go back to Jerusalem, actually to Bethany, which is just less than 2 miles away. And they object because there had been attempts on Jesus' life. And one of the disciples says, well, let's all go and we can die with him. So that was how it all began to happen. And then said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Because of the use of that term sleep, many people believe that when they're buried, they are asleep. In fact, the body is decaying, but the soul is very much alive in the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not sleeping. We don't believe that the Bible teaches soul sleep. The soul is always alive, and of believers, alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The body decays, could scarcely be called asleep. But then when the Lord returns, body and soul will be reunited, and that's a great awakening. So Jesus said, I go to awake him out of sleep. Then the disciples thought, well, there's no point in going all that way if he's asleep. Fine. When he wakes up, he'll be even better. But then Jesus told them plainly that Lazarus is dead. And we're not told anything about whatever comfort those disciples might have needed, because they'd frequently been to that home. But we're not told anything about it. But Jesus goes on to say, I'm glad that you were not there. I'm glad you were not there, that I was not there, because I have something to show you. I was glad I was not there, and it was for your sakes, because I have something important to teach you about me. So Jesus came, and he came, I don't know if it's to the outside of Bethany, or whether it was to within a stone's throw of the grave, I don't know. But many of the Jews had come from Jerusalem to comfort Martha and Mary. And human comfort is always greatly, greatly appreciated. But it is irrelevant when compared with the comfort of the Lord Jesus and the eternal life which he gives us. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, I don't know if it was one of the messengers she sent out before that ran ahead and said, but she went out to meet him. But Martha remained still in the house. One of the commentators says that we've seen Martha before as one who is complaining that Jesus doesn't allow Mary to help her, and Mary is the one who is meditative. And the commentator said, but here we see the disadvantage of being meditative and the advantage of coming out like Martha did. Martha came out and he said, in exactly the same words that Mary had lived, I don't think they conspired together, they just simply both thought the same thing. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Rebuke. Plain fact. She had the strength to believe that no matter how ill Lazarus was, even unto death, if Jesus had been there, he would have said a word and he would instantly have been better. And she was quite right. She shows here her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How she felt because he died now. It was upset. If you had been here, why weren't you here? Why did you go away? If you'd been here, my brother had not died. And then she comes out, blurts out this wonderful, wonderful expression. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Can you think of any other thing that she meant other than that she believed that Lazarus could be raised again? Can you put any other interpretation on it? Here she comes. Her brother is dead. She says to Jesus, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And then she interjects, but I know, even now, that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Faith. What was left for her to believe other than that Lazarus would be raised from the dead? So Jesus answers her by saying thy brother shall rise again. She believed what historically the Jews believed, you can read it in Daniel 12, that there would be a resurrection at the last day, which is true. Our bodies will be raised at the last day. But she believed that as that was the resurrection. Till then you slept. Till then you didn't know anything. Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again at the last day, in the resurrection at the last day. And this is where Jesus had something unique to tell her. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. No need to wait till the last day. I raise the dead. And though we know our bodies sleep, it means that immediately that we die, he raises our souls into everlasting life. So we've not gone forever, gone and we're just in the grave. The real us is not there in the grave. I think we would view with horror being covered under the ground. But there's only our body, only our mortal remains. But our souls go to be with him. Thy brother shall rise again. I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I'm the resurrection, said Jesus. I'm. No last days. Fix on me. I'm the resurrection. Now he goes on to prove it by raising Lazarus from the dead. And I so often thought, when Jesus goes on to say, believest thou this? What an unkind and cruel thing it would have been of Jesus to say to a grieving Martha, who was his friend, that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he didn't know how. Couldn't raise her hopes like that, could he? So he knew what he was about to do. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I impart life. I impart life that can raise the dead. And then he comes out with these two wonderful, wonderful expressions. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lazarus, of course. He that believeth in me, that's Lazarus. Though he were dead, that's Lazarus. Yet shall he be. But he's not meaning future. He's meaning that he shall continue to live. Lazarus, believing dead, shall live. Meaning he's alive and shall continue to be alive forever. And our loved ones who believed in Christ and who died believing, though they're dead, they're alive, very much alive. That was the first thing he said to Mary. You're weeping about Lazarus. And he that is dead and believes in me shall be living. But he goes to raise Lazarus to prove all that he's saying. And then opposite of he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. See the use of these expressions, yet shall he live. But it means instantly and forever and forever and ever. And it doesn't mean that somebody who's alive and believes won't actually die. But it means that their real them, their soul, shall never die. They'll pass straight away into the presence of the Lord. So the dead believer, our friend may be, our relatives may be, they're alive with Christ. And a person who lives and believes shall never die, though he dies after this body. He begins when he believes a life that is everlasting, forever and ever and ever. Though his body dies, though he becomes ill, or she does, nevertheless the soul will never cease to exist. So Jesus covers those who are dead, and he covers those who are alive. But in each case, the condition is that we believe in him. He alone has power over the grave. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me and he died, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth like you, Martha, and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe that? Believe yourself this. Do you believe that? If it weren't true, wasn't that a horrible thing to say to her? She saith unto him, but not in so many words, but makes a wonderful confession. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that. Why? Because I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The condition, the belief is that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God that should come into the world to blot out our transgressions as far as the east is from the west and to make us in the Father's sight to be as Jesus without sin, that we will not lose our sin till we are, we die. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And therefore I believe that what you say about the resurrection, because you've just said it, I've always believed about the resurrection of the just and unjust in the last day, but now, because you said it, I believe that thou, being my friend, being my saviour, thou art the master of life and of death, of resurrection. When she said that, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly. Mary had sat still in the house. Maybe her contemplative side was letting her down and she was crying and couldn't get any relief. Maybe she was thinking. But she called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master hath come and calleth for thee. Now, we weren't told that before, but obviously it had happened that Jesus said, go and get Mary, or some words to that effect. And as soon as Mary heard that the Master was calling her, she arose quickly and came unto him. Makes a wonderful gospel text, even if you take those words away from this particular context. The Master is come and calleth for thee. You can preach to a congregation and say, where two or three are gathered together, even there the Lord is with them. The Master has come. He's calling for you. And it will be an effective call. Believe in him. Trust in him. You'll hear his voice as you read the scriptures. And you'll know he's calling you. Even as Samuel knew it was himself when Eli instructed him. The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose and came unto him. And Jesus was still where he was. And all those who were mourning with Mary and Martha followed. And then Mary said to Jesus, exactly the same words, but her posture was different. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Showing her absolute worship of Christ, showing her absolute trust in Christ, but shown in a different way for Martha, who didn't fall down at Jesus' feet and yet had some wonderful things to say, and the Lord blessed her. Jesus was made fully man. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What was the cause of that? Well, he was in the face of being the Son of Man, fully a man. And here was Lazarus, whom he loved. And there the family was going through the curse that his father had set upon the earth all those years ago of death. Oh, and the cost of sin, of original sin, of the sin that comes down, it got to him. He groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled. He said kindly, where is he? And they said, Lord, come and see. And again, Jesus wept. That life, human life, should appear to come to an end like this, that all the suffering and all the sudden death and all the illnesses and all the pains which follow on the curse, it grieved him. Will he not help us when we're in any of those difficulties, anything like it? Jesus wept, and the Jew said, how he loved Lazarus. But it wasn't just Lazarus. It was the whole human predicament, the whole human situation. And raising Lazarus from the dead is going to prove to them all that notwithstanding what appears to be the end, there is everlasting life, and that they will live with him forever. Jesus wept. And then they said to one another, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should have died? Should not have died. And of course, when it comes to our turn to die, people may say, couldn't the Lord whom he loved make him better? Of course he could. But it's time to go to glory. There are better things than this world in mind. But it does cause pain and weeping, the separation of two who've loved each other or of a family. Jesus groaning in himself again, see, twice groaning, twice wept, moved to the core, he cometh to the grave. And then, later on, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said to the Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, but I said it in a prayer like this, so that all those who are here may hear my voice. And then Martha, being practical, said, you can't open this grave because there'll be a terrible smell. She's been dead 4 days and been disintegrating. Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? That also is a wonderful text, taken in isolation. If you believe in Christ, you shall see the glory of God. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, as they did from where Jesus had been laid. And he'd already been called out of that grave. But it was a preview of what was going to happen to Christ on behalf of us all. When he had thus spoken to God, and when he had come to the graveside and said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Do you know it's going to happen again? When the Lord returns and there's great voices of a trumpet, all that are in the grave who believe in Jesus shall come forth. and be joined with their souls and have a bodily resurrection forever and ever. Lazarus, he says, come forth. When he returns, he'll say, come forth to the bodies of all time, however they're disintegrated. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. That made no difference. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Those whom the Lord calls at his return will be in various stages of decomposition. But that makes no difference. The Lord will bring them all together again. And all these things he did so that the disciples should believe, so that Mary and Martha should believe, and so the Jews who mourned with him should believe. And it's so necessary for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to know that we shall be raised eternally, no longer suffering, no longer sick, no longer in pain, no longer uncomfortable, but we'll be raised forever, perfectly, in full control, and wonderfully restored bodies and souls. What a wonderful faith we have. What a wonderful Saviour we have. His power never wanes. Trust him. Amen.
Amen.